Hebrews chapter 7. I want you to notice tonight, really you'll notice a lot about the priesthood of the priest. Now keep in mind, this is the Old Testament mindset, and the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of that priesthood of the Old Testament, but yet he's elevated it and made it better. Now I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, he is our high priest. And that's what the book of Hebrews is trying to convince the Hebrews of, is that Jesus Christ is now our high priest. And he is far better than all the high priests that came before him. He's even of a different line. He's of a different order, rather. And you'll notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, just read up to it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So he knows how we feel. He has been touched like all of us. One of the reasons the Lord Jesus came and lived the life that we could not live is so that you and I could not say to him, you don't know how hard it is. You don't know how I feel. You don't know the pain that I am suffering. Because Jesus Christ took everything that you took and everybody around us took and everybody that's ever lived took and the weight of the world and says, I know how you feel. Only he never did wrong when the pressure came like we do. So he says, I know how you feel. I am your high priest. Now all the Old Testament high priests, you'll notice, look in chapter 7, Roman number 1, the outline, Melchizedek was the priest of God. And you notice, A, he met Abraham after God had given Abraham victory over the kings. And B, Abraham gave him a tithe of all that he had. Now, C, who was Melchizedek? If you have your Bible, Hebrews chapter 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, if we were to say tonight, who was Melchizedek? Now, Jesus Christ, if you'll notice, over in chapter 7, verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, after the pattern or the example or the position of Melchizedek. We don't really know a lot about Melchizedek. It's only mentioned 3 or 4 times in Scripture, in 3 or 4 different books. But you'll notice C1, the outline, he had no father or mother is given for him. So he represents Christ. In other words, he doesn't have a lineage. It's like he is a type of Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, of course, had a father, the Holy Spirit, mother, Mary. But this Melchizedek, if you understand, Jesus Christ was perfect. Well, Melchizedek, because there's no father and mother listed for him, it's as though he was as perfect as man could be. Now, some people, you'll notice in the outline, two, he was a king. He was king of peace and righteousness. Notice chapter 7, verse number 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tithe, a tenth part of all, first being, by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So there are several theories, because no one knows who Melchizedek was. We know that he never sinned publicly that we know of. There's nothing negative said about Melchizedek. If he was human, he was a sinner, but he was a righteous man. He was the king, perhaps, of peace in his area. Everybody looked at him. If he was a real person, people respected him because he was did what was right, and it's like he's the king of right. And he's a man of peace. It's like he's the king of peace. And so he was known as the king of Salem. You'll notice his name means king of righteousness. You'll notice, if you would, in verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent. And here it is, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So he is a type of Christ. Christ had no ending and has no beginning. And he is forever a priest after the order, after the example of Melchizedek. Now, we don't know much about Melchizedek. Some people think he was a theophany. Theophany, theos, God, phani, a manifestation of God. There have been some theophanies in the Old Testament. Various ones met God, didn't realize it. Jacob wrestled with God. You'll notice that a theophany is an appearance of God in human form, but yet no birth, no, just appears and is gone. We don't know, but sometimes you can entertain angels unawares. Have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. Notice verse number 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. One of the reasons I encourage you all to greet people as they come into church, to warmly go out of your way, not just to come in and find a seat and stay there, but greet folks around you, especially visitors, is because notice verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So sometimes God just places angels in particular positions that we can do what's right, gives us an opportunity to be a blessing. Don't know if Melchizedek was an appearance of God, appearance of Christ, but could have been. It sort of fits, not completely. But you'll notice over in chapter 7 of Hebrews, he abideth the priest continually. So it sort of looks like Melchizedek is a form of Christ or a picture of Christ. Notice, if you would, C3 in the outline, he had no listed beginning or ending. Some think he was a theophany. 5, most likely he was a godly man that God chose to represent Christ to Abraham and to all of his family and to those who read Scripture. That's probably the most likely. But 6, he is considered to be a priest continually. So it's as though you consider that he is a priest that abides, that didn't have a beginning, but has always existed and will continue to exist. Notice, if you have your Bible, in chapter 7, verse 4, now consider how great this man was, thank you, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. Well, Abraham gave a tithe to this man. So consider how important he was if Abraham gave to him, looked up to him as a priest. Notice, if you would, in verse number 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? If the Levitical priesthood had been perfect, there'd have been no need for another order, a Melchizedek, a Christ. Now, I want you to, we're building up to a point here. Don't miss the reason it's important that Jesus Christ is our high priest. Don't miss that. You'll notice in the outline, because the Old Testament Levitical priesthood was not perfect, God raised up a new order after Melchizedek that only Christ can match and exceed. So Christ took the position of Old Testament high priest, which, if you remember, the Old Testament high priest was the highest ranking position spiritually on earth. And so he was the leader. He was the one that would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and offer a sacrifice for the people. So he was their advocate to God. And the reason it's important that you understand that Jesus Christ is our high priest is he does that for us now. He is your advocate. Now, notice if you would in the outline. E, Christ was born of Judah and not of the traditional Levitical line of priests. Christ as a new order was better. His priesthood is eternal. Every Old Testament priest died. He has a grave. He was buried. Jesus did. He was buried, but he rose again. So his priesthood is eternal. That's why you and I now have someone that we can lift our voices to that understands our feelings. What he's trying to get us to understand is, look, you're no longer alone. Brian brought up, we have a Heavenly Father. And we have a high priest in heaven, Jesus Christ, who stands up for us to the Father and says, I understand what Dave Pittman's feeling, Father. I know how difficult it is for him. Lord, he's mine. And he pleads for us. He is our advocate. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Notice this. 1 John chapter 2. Look with me if you would. Verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a, here it is, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So in other words, whenever you and I sin, yes, we should be ashamed. Yes, we should be embarrassed. But yes, we can make it right. We can say, Lord, I'm sorry. And Jesus Christ stands up for us. And when Satan would say, they're not worthy to come to heaven, Jesus Christ say, I know that, but I've already paid their debt and they're worthy now. And we have a robe of righteousness that we did not earn but were given because Jesus Christ paid our debt of sin and he stands in heaven for us as our attorney almost, always pleading our case. So when you're going through hard times, you're not alone. And the Old Testament priest, whenever the Old Testament Jew would say, dear high priest, would you make an offering for me? Yes, he could. But he didn't have the same feelings for this person. It was a job to him many times. Oh, even if his heart was in it. Now, Eli was not that way. Some of the high priests were just men of duty. Jesus is not that. And the book of Hebrews is exalting Jesus Christ up and causing everyone in this room to know you're not alone. You have a high priest that loves you and cares for you. And so when you get into a bind, it's time for you to get on your knees and say, oh, Lord, can I talk to you? And he says, I know what you're feeling. I know the burden of your heart. I understand the hurt that's in your heart. Remember, Jesus was forsaken. His friends turned their back on him. His family turned their back on him. Remember, he was falsely accused. You name the things that you're feeling, the hurts that you're feeling, and Jesus Christ endured those multiplied times over, far greater than we. Not many of us have been, people get so mad at us they want to kill us, but several times there was an attempt on his life. And so Jesus Christ knows your feelings. There were times he didn't have money. And he would have to do a miracle just to provide. You know that there's nothing that you can pray and say, Father, I need to talk to you about something that he doesn't know and understand. And this whole passage is about getting us to understand the privilege that we now have in a high priest that is in heaven for us. Notice if you would, in Roman numeral E2, excuse me, Christ's testament and promises were much better. Look in verse 21, 22 of Hebrews chapter 7. But so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Jesus Christ was made so much better for us. His promises are so much better than the Old Testament promises. Now, notice if you would, in verse 23, and they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. There were many of them that Old Testament high priests. And you know, it was a sad thing if your high priest died. I mean, you got used to him. It was a lifetime position. You got used to him and he died. And then somebody else came in. You had to try to, connect with him. But, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of Jews. And there was one high priest. But Jesus Christ says, I know your name. I know where you sit. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know the thoughts that you think. I love you. No Old Testament saint had that like we do. And he writes the book of Hebrews to convince these Hebrews of the new position that they have and of new joys that they have and new privileges that they have. And we're just like them. We've got the same joys and privileges and honors. And you and I cannot let the world get a hold of our heart and steal from us the privilege that we have a high priest in heaven for us right now today that loves you. And then knows the hurt that you feel. And your debt is paid, by the way. Notice, if you would, some of the benefits of this high priest. Look in Roman numeral 2. Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, is our high priest forever. So you never have to get a new one. Never have to get adjusted to anybody else. He is more wonderful than all the priests before him combined. If you were to take all the good points of all the high priests before him, and put them all into one sum, Jesus is better than that. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23, they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, because he continueth ever, because he ever lives, hath an unchangeable priesthood. He never changes. He's always there for you and I. So this writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to convince people that this new high priest is far better than what they're used to, is far better than the Old Testament promises. And he, by the way, is the fulfillment of all those in the New Testament. Now notice, if you would, in verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Because Jesus Christ is eternal, he has an unchangeable priesthood. He will always be there abiding and standing up for us. But you'll notice in verse 25, wherefore? So because of that, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. So, excuse me, your salvation is eternal. Why? Because the one that bought and paid for your soul is in heaven for you today, standing up for you saying, his debt's paid, Father. I paid it. It's done. And you and I never have to fend for ourselves. We make mistakes, but our high priest never has to offer. You see, the Old Testament high priest, let's say Brother Rob here, one of our deacons, were to come to me, and I were the high priest, and he would say, Pastor, I got angry at work today, and I chewed somebody out, and I shouldn't have. Would you make this offering for me? I'm sorry. You go ahead and make the offering for him. Comes back the next day. Does the same thing. I get a good another lamb, make another offering. Next day, get another lamb, make another offering. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, do you remember the three words he said, the last three words? It is finished. What? The debt's paid. No more sacrifices. No more offerings. So when he stands before his Father in heaven, it's Dave Pittman again, he's saying he's sorry. Father, his debt's paid. No more offerings. And because he's eternal and because he knows the way I feel, I have a high priest in heaven that none of the Old Testament priests ever could match. Are you taking advantage of the privilege that you have? You see, notice if you would, in verse 25, when you say, well, I think there's some people that struggle with their salvation. I think I was saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I did something awfully bad. I don't know what would happen if I died right now. Verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So the reason your eternal life is eternal, because he gave it to you. But the reason you don't have to pay for your sins that you commit tomorrow is because he's already in heaven standing up for you, interceding for you. And by the way, he says, Father, debt's been paid. I paid it 2,000 years ago. It's all paid. No more sacrifice, no more sacrifices. No more offerings, no more offerings. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews. Notice this. Verse 12 again, chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 10. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. What happened to the Old Testament? What did they do in the Old Testament when they offered a lamb? What happened to the sin? It was atoned for. What does atonement mean? Covered up. It was covered up by the blood, but it wasn't removed. It wasn't debt paid, canceled, over, never to be brought up again. That's why your salvation and my salvation is eternal. It's because the debt's paid forever. And we have a high priest in heaven that stands up for us and said, Father, he's mine. Debt's paid. Look, if you would, down in verse number 10. By the which will, by God's will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once for all. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, only cover them up. By faith, the Old Testament saints' sins were covered up, and that's the way they got to heaven. Because God, by faith, forgave them, and their debt was paid in escrow. But you'll notice, if you would, those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't remove the sin. Notice, if you would, verse 11, which can never take away sins. But this man, who is this? Your high priest. After he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So that's why your debt's paid. That's why you don't have anything to worry about. So you and I have a high priest in heaven that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Always there when Satan comes and accuses us. His debt's paid, Father. His debt's paid. Her debt's paid, Father. I took care of it. I washed it away on the cross. And Satan has to duck his head and go. So he is able to save us completely to the uttermost. To the very last sin, to the deepest sin, to the worst sin, to the simplest sin, to the purposeful sin, to the accidental sin. Every sin is washed away, done with forever. The moment you say, Lord, I'm sorry. The moment you look at the Lord and say, I know you died for me. I trust you. When you come to him as the wicked man came to the temple, and he knelt down before the Lord and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Didn't even pray it right. He just said, Lord, be merciful to me. And the Bible specifically says, this man, Jesus said, this man went out justified, debt paid, because he, in his heart, wanted his sins forgiven. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not the words that you speak. It's the intent of the heart. And yes, confession is made unto salvation. There's got to be a confession of sin, but I don't think it has to be absolutely verbal. I think we can kneel down on our knees and with our heart pray. If you had a tongue that was cut out and you wanted to be saved, you could be. If you couldn't kneel because you were hanging on the cross, you could be saved. Lord, remember me. Even if you didn't get the words right, if you wanted to be saved, if you wanted to go to heaven, you can get the words right, or don't get the words right if your heart is right. There's a point when the heart turns, and God sees that and says, forgiven, debt paid. Now, I don't think it's in the words. I think it's in the heart. I prayed and asked the Lord to save me according to Romans chapter 10. And I got saved. The thief on the cross prayed just like Romans 10:10 said. But he didn't say the right words in verse 13. But he was saved. You see, God has not got this formula that you've got to always follow. But he does have a formula you always have to follow. You have to repent of your sin and say, Lord, in your heart, I want to be saved. You don't know necessarily the right words, but you know what you want, and God sees what you want, and it's done with. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 2b, he can save us and anyone else completely. He can forgive all sins. Two, he can stand before God and make intercession for us. Three, his payment for sin was so complete that after his offering of himself was made, never again does another offering for sin have to be presented to God. His offering was once and for all. That's Hebrews 10:14. So the next time somebody comes to you and says, I think I'm saved, they just don't understand what Jesus has done for. I tell you this, I believe there are people going to heaven that don't know it. They don't realize it. They've asked the Lord to save them. They've repented of their sin. They said, I'm sorry. They wanted to go to heaven, but they're just not sure of it. And you know what? They don't have the assurance of their salvation. And God doesn't want that. He wrote the book of Hebrews to make sure everybody in this room knows you have a high priest in heaven that stands up for you, and the price that he paid for your sins was enough. And it was total. And if you've asked the Lord to save, your debt's paid and it's gone forever. Now, he says, will you live for me? He's trying to get these, a little bit later on, we find out about from Hebrews 11 and 12, we hear about the hall of faith. And those men and women that were torn apart and died and refused to reject Jesus Christ and their salvation, and they died for it. He said these people just wanted a little better resurrection. They just wanted a little bit more treasure in heaven. Now, I would ask you, do we watch our words because we want a little more treasure in heaven that we can say, Lord, this is how much I loved you? Do we watch the thoughts that we think, so that we can be a little more pleasing to the Lord? The book of Hebrews is a book that gives all of us the assurance of our salvation and the challenge that he's worth serving. And he loves you. And there's no problem you've ever had that you cannot take to him. He is your high priest in heaven that's standing up for you every moment of every day. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, the conclusion of the discussion of Melchizedek and his order is that Christ is our high priest. And he is seated at God's right hand forever. Now I want you to notice, look with me if you would, in verse number 26 of Hebrews 7. For such an high priest became us, this is speaking of Lord Jesus, who is holy, he's pure. Notice the next one. He's harmless. It harmless does not seemingly go with Jesus Christ. But harmless means They would never hurt you on purpose. Harmless means they'd never hurt you anyway. And Jesus Christ is harmless to you. He is your high priest, and he is harmless. He would never, something he knows about you, use it against you. He's harmless. What a great Savior. Notice the next one, undefiled. He's never sinned. He's separate from sinners. He's different from sinners in that he doesn't know the depravity of sin personally. But he does know the depravity of sin in your behalf and my behalf, because he took our sins upon him. Notice, if you would, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests, all the Old Testament high priests, everyone that ever lived, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sin. You see, the Old Testament priest had to go in and clean up himself first. He would go through a ritual and he would offer a lamb and then he'd go back and get one for the people. Jesus never had to do that. You'll notice he says, and then for the peoples, for this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forever. Now, look in verse chapter 8, verse 1, he says this. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. If you're a mathematician, this is the total. This is the result. This is all of it added up into one. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So we have a high priest in heaven that's on our side. So let me ask you this. What is it you and I have to worry about? What is it we have that is so big that it makes us fret that Jesus doesn't know about and doesn't have an answer for and doesn't have the power to overcome or to give us the strength to go through it? Remember this. The Lord is not just, we're not here just to have a life of ease. We're his servants. Sometimes servants had to pick up heavy loads and carry them for their masters. You and I sometimes have to pick up heavy loads. Health issues, financial issues, troubles, other people's troubles, and carry them. Why? Because we're servants. But does Jesus know every time you carry one? Yes. Is he there saying, let me help? Yes. It's just that whenever we try to carry it ourselves and we get overwhelmed. I just want to encourage you tonight. You have the conclusion of the whole matter in verse 2, verse 1. This is the sum. We have an high priest who is set in heaven, standing up for us. Tonight, do you understand the privilege that you have? You have a high priest that knows your feelings and your infirmities. He stands up for you. He's able to save you to the uttermost. He loves you. He's paid your debt for all eternity. And he looks at you and I and he set us free and he stands up for us and he says, look, will you just represent me well? Will you just live for me? That's all we have to do. We just have to live a pure and holy life like him. Can we do that? Are we willing? And then he says, if you do that, I got a reward in heaven for you. Christianity, Christian life is too good to be true. Notice, if you would, see in the outline, the last line. We always have an advocate with God in heaven for us. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle. We have one standing up for us. Tonight, do you carry a load? Tonight, do you have a weight? Are you worried about something? Does anybody know where the verse is that says this? For he hath, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Does anybody know where that verse is? It's the end of the book of Hebrews. He's trying to get everybody to understand, you have a helper that loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you carrying a load that you don't need to carry alone? Let's pray. Ask the pianist to come and lead us in a verse of scripture tonight. As he leads us in a song, as we look at the scriptures tonight, maybe tonight you could just come and kneel and say, Lord, I need to talk to you for a minute. Lord, I really do have something that's burdening me. Why don't you just say, Lord, I know you're my advocate. I know you care for me. I know you're my helper. I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know you paid my debt. I just don't think about that enough. Maybe you need to come tonight, this altar, share your burden with him. You have a high priest in heaven standing up for you. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for all that you do for us. Help us to do a little bit back for you. Help us to do what's right and to